Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, June 16th, 2024. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Wind-driven wildfire in the city of Spokane this afternoon. Idaho man wearing Trump 2024 hat shoots and critically injures homeless man while live streaming his agitation of homeless people in the Spokane crack district, and mountain road collapse causes long Idaho-Wyoming commuter delays. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Reports. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. A wind-driven wildfire southwest of Spokane had grown to between 75 and 85 acres as of 4 p.m., resulting in immediate evacuation orders for homes between the 5,500 blocks of South Abbott, South Assembly, and South Dorset Roads and the Cheney-Spokane Road. Department of Natural Resources employee Jesse Lewis said 100 homes are threatened. Apparently none had burned as of 5 p.m. The Spokesman Review website reported the city of Spokane reopened the northbound lanes of the Cheney to Spokane Road that had been closed for construction to facilitate a quick evacuation of the area. Spokane County Fire District 3 reported at about 2:10 p.m. a slash pile fire in the 7,800 block of South Grove Road had spread into brush and was spreading into timber as well. As of later in the afternoon, smoke rising from the fire could be clearly seen in downtown Spokane. There is a high wind advisory in effect in the area. National Weather Service Spokane office meteorologist Daniel Butler said there has been sustained winds from the southwest of 20 to 30 miles per hour for much of the day, with gusts as high as 45 miles per hour, and those conditions should continue into the evening before diminishing to 25 miles per hour maximum gusts around midnight. Humidity is around 21% in the area. Thomas Kyle Millward of the Department of Natural Resources said there is a bulldozer, helicopters, and a hand crew of more than 100 firefighters on the fire line. An Idaho man who antagonized homeless people Friday night at a Spokane intersection known for fentanyl overdoses while live streaming on a YouTube channel ended up shooting and critically injuring an unarmed homeless man while still live streaming. At a hearing in Spokane Superior Court Monday, Court Commissioner Eugene Cruz told 36-year-old Hoyt Webb of Coeur d'Alene, "You went to this location for your own entertainment strictly to antagonize the folks experiencing homelessness and hardships." Police say Webb shot 47-year-old Thomas Hatch. The Spokesman Review reports Providence Sacred Heart Medical Center spokesperson Ali Hyams said Hatch was in critical condition Monday morning. The paper reports Hatch's older brother, Eric Kessler, was in court and told Court Commissioner Cruz his brother is barely clinging on to life. The paper reports Kessler left the courthouse in tears to head to the hospital, saying if his heart stops again, they can't revive him. He said his brother was homeless due to neurological damage caused by a childhood accident. Kessler said at the courthouse, "I believe you are evil by your videos with malice in your heart. If he dies, I will be at every court hearing. Burn my face into your brain. I'm not going anywhere." Webb has a YouTube page called Kootenai County Press with numerous videos of himself in Spokane and other locations in Washington, which the Spokesman Review reports shows him goading police and employees of businesses. The YouTube page says Webb is a, quote, credentialed reporter and photographer with the Constitution First Amendment Press Association. The Constitution First Amendment Press Association says on its website it gives free press credentials to people who apply for them, and their website says people should be aware of, quote, qualified journalists, unquote, who they say are biased. In the video of the live stream in which Webb shot somebody Friday, he shows himself via selfie stick wearing a red Trump 2024 ball cap and then motions toward the 7-Eleven on South Division Street, telling his viewers, "Spokane, Washington, ladies and gentlemen." A few people who pass him in the video flip him off, and he shouts expletives at them. After Webb sees a man with a knife, he goes to his car and gets his gun, saying on the stream, "It'd be a bad idea if they pull anything on me, 'cause I'm pro-Second Amendment." When Webb walks through a group of people gathered on a sidewalk near Short Avenue and Division Street, people approached him and tell him to leave. He yells at them he is constitutionally protected and claims the people are holding knives, guns, and rocks, although no weapons are visible in the video. At that point, Spokane Police Detective Kelsey Walker wrote in court documents that at the time Webb did not retreat. Webb claims someone attacked him with a pipe wrench, but the video does not show anyone near him at the time. He tells the people, "I'm trying to help you guys." He then screams at people to drop a rock he claims one of them is holding. Later, a woman can be seen on the video throwing a rock at him, but the woman did not have the range to come close to hitting Webb. He then yells at people to get back and shouts, "I feel threatened," numerous times. Two women and a man cross Division Street to the side of the street Webb is on, while one of the women takes her own video of Webb, and the man asks how that feels. The video shows Hatch walking by with a mostly empty cup in one hand and nothing in his right hand. Webb continued to scream, "I feel threatened," and he fires a shot at the ground, and then he allegedly shoots Hatch, who the video shows lying on the ground. A man in an orange jacket approaches Webb and says that was not self-defense and he's going to jail. Webb points his gun at the man, who cowers and then runs away. Court records say it does not appear Webb made any attempts to retreat back to his vehicle to call 911 for help or ask anyone to call for help. Spokane police booked Webb into the Spokane County Jail Saturday at 2 a.m., and a judge set bond at $75,000. After announcing last week they would close two elementary schools, the West Bonner School Board in the Idaho Panhandle decided they would close the district's junior high school for a year instead. The decision to close a school building temporarily came after district voters rejected a $4.6 million levy May 21st. The spokesman review reports the district was already on shaky economic ground, using the last of their federal pandemic funding to get through the latest school year. The district now plans to send the expected 150 7th and 8th grade students to Priest River Lamana High School, a half mile away from the junior high. The previous plan of closing two far-flung elementary schools would have required long bus rides for young children. One of the two elementary schools that were under consideration for closure was Priest Lake Elementary School, which is 30 miles north of Priest River, where the remaining elementary school would be open. The other was Idaho Hill Elementary School in Old Town. The spokesman review reported during the most recent school board meeting last week, parents warned closing the two elementary schools would alienate people living in outlying areas of the very rural school district, and voters there would be less likely to support future levies and more likely to homeschool their kids if the elementary schools were closed. District Special Education Director Christina Kenny said small elementary school classes are important for child development. Kenny said little kids need small group instruction. They need individual instruction. The elementary school closure plan would have meant there would be 500 students at Priest River Elementary, with as many as 27 students in first grade classrooms. Some district patrons at the meeting said they were concerned that sending the 7th and 8th graders to the high school would cause problems with bullying and the mingling of older boys with younger girls. High school principal Matt George responded to the concerns, saying he can segregate the two sets of grade levels so 7th and 8th graders would have separate hallways and 9th through 12th graders would have to use other hallways. George said the school could add partitions in locker rooms and rotate teachers from room to room instead of moving students around between classes. He said most high schools already serve grades 7 through 12 in the same building. George spoke of creating a school within a school for the 7th and 8th graders. He said, "This is not a new concept. I can't promise that there would be no mixing, but we can greatly reduce it." George said one advantage of the move is it will make it easier for junior high students to take high school level classes. You're tuned in to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by the Moscow Food Co-op, specializing in food, goods, and programs that nourish and nurture our community. The Moscow Food Co-op is located at 121 East 5th Street. For more information, visit moscowfood.coop, call 882-8537, or find them on Facebook. KRFP is also sponsored by
Tie-Dye Everything, with locally made tie-dyed items, incense, and other accessories. Tie-Dye Everything is located near 6th Street at 527 South Main Street in Moscow. For more information, you can find Tie-Dye Everything at tiedye-everything.com.
A Moscow police officer operating a heat-seeking drone helped Whitman County deputies find a missing 3-year-old with autism at night about a mile from the family home in Colton last Friday. According to Whitman County Sheriff Brett Myers, after somebody notified police of the missing child at 9:30 p.m. Friday, about 75 first responders from various agencies started searching the immediate area. According to the Lewiston Tribune, the drone detected a heat signal in a nearby field and found the missing child about a mile away from the home. The boy had been missing for about 3 hours. The Palouse Land Trust will close the Idler's Rest Nature Preserve outside of Moscow for 5 days between Monday, June 17th and Friday, June 21st, so crews can remove several hazardous trees on the Cedar and Highland Loop trails. The Idler's Rest Nature Preserve is located about 5 miles north of Moscow on the flank of Moscow Mountain. A Palouse Land Trust press release quotes project lead Ava Cocking saying, "By removing hazardous trees, we're preventing potential accidents and reducing fire risks. Additionally, repurposing these trees into fence posts for the project site reduces waste and enhances the preserve, contributing to our goal of effective stewardship." The release says the proactive and transparent approach will protect visitors and support the ecological balance of the forest. A section of road collapsed on Teton Pass in Wyoming near the Idaho state line Friday, causing commuters who work in Tony Jackson Hole, Wyoming, but live in the more affordable town of Victor, Idaho, to add a 60-mile detour to their jobs. It's unclear how long it will take crews to make repairs to the road, which catastrophically failed at milepost 12.8. A new crack and a drop in the roadbed last Thursday contributed to a motorcycle crash. Crews patched the road and traffic moved again. Crews were working on a couple of landslides during the overnight hours early Thursday morning and had reopened the road for a time before another landslide closed the road. By Friday at 5 a.m., it was apparent a major section of the pavement had completely failed, with the earth sliding into a ravine. Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon declared an emergency, saying his office will help the State Department of Transportation secure emergency Federal Highway Administration funding to begin repairing the road. Governor Gordon said the State Transportation Department is working on a long-term solution to rebuild the critical roadway. Gordon wrote, "I recognize the significant impacts this closure has to Teton County residents, regional commuters, and the local economy." Wildlife advocates are concerned about the politicization of endangered species management, which in Idaho is mainly controlled by the Office of Species Conservation, which is part of the executive branch. The Office of Species Conservation is a state-level resource for all Endangered Species Act-related matters, including technical, legal, and policy issues. Office of Species Conservation Director Mike Edmondson told the Idaho Press the office also helps write plans and seeks and directs funds. By comparison, Idaho Fish and Game is more focused on being on the ground working with animals. Fish and Game's mission is to protect, preserve, perpetuate, and manage Idaho's wildlife resources. A spokesperson for the agency said Fish and Game sets hunting and fishing rules, monitors and sustains wildlife habitats, and works with the public in conservation efforts to ensure a robust diversity of wildlife in Idaho, in particular for hunting, fishing, and other recreational activities. While the state's Wildlife Action Plan depicts Fish and Game as the Wildlife and Management Authority, it does not dispense significant regulatory programs other than regulating the take of wildlife. It's that position that concerns many wildlife advocates. Sierra Club Northern Rockies Wildlands and Wildlife Field Organizer Nick Jivak told the Idaho Press, "Endangered species management, and in particular with these large carnivore species, has always been very political." Office of Species Conservation Director Edmondson said endangered species management in Idaho is rooted in science. Edmondson wrote in a statement, "Where species management impacts businesses, outdoor recreation, and Idahoans' way of life, which some may consider to be political in nature, we work across the political spectrum and with diverse interests to mitigate impacts to any individuals, groups, or economic sectors affected by endangered species management decisions." Idaho Conservation League's Public Lands and Wildlife Director John Robison said the Office of Species Conservation's strength is finding win-win solutions that rally people for wildlife. Robison said, "There is a challenge, though, because there could be decisions that need to be made that would clearly benefit Idaho's native species, but aren't given a lot of opportunity because someone somewhere might have an issue with it. They might be overly cautious about community concerns. What species should be conserved and how to conserve them can be controversial." Retired Fish and Game Department large carnivore biologist Steve Nadeau, who has authored books about grizzly bears, said, "The problem is when the political realm supersedes the biological realm. There were big changes in 2000 after a series of disagreements between state and federal officials over how to protect salmon and over the introductions of bears and wolves in parts of Idaho. That year, the legislature approved Senate Bill 1490, which created the Governor's Office of Species Conservation. The funding began when the state appropriated $510,000 for the office and funded five full-time positions." The Pullman City Council will vote tonight on a $124,000 contract with Pros Consulting Incorporated to write a Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Master Plan for the city. The project is expected to produce an updated plan to guide the city in development of park properties during the next 20 years. The Pullman Council will also vote on a three-year contract with Public Safety Insights LLC to provide compact, rapid, deployable cell towers, which can be deployed from the back of a pickup truck and are to be used exclusively by first responders. The agenda item says firefighters, the City Emergency Management Office, and Whitman County Emergency Management currently carry the devices that connect to the units. According to the council agenda, the equipment would help ensure communications are maintained between emergency responders should the in-place networks fail from man-made or natural disasters. The compact, rapidly deployable cell towers would be available to outside agencies who request the city deploy the towers during an emerging incident. The council will also vote on accepting a $560,000 base bid with East Slope Earthworks LLC to create 1.2 acres of new cemetery space by working on 2.4 acres of existing farmland. The city plans on using money from the Cemetery Improvement Fund and the Cemetery Project Fund to pay for the project, which should be completed by mid-November. The Pullman City Council will meet at 7 p.m. tonight at City Hall.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored in part by Hungadunga Brewing Company of 333 North Jackson Street in Moscow. Hungadunga features live music, special events, fine food, and craft beers at hungadungabrewing.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
KRFP supports progressive values, including multiculturalism and environmentalism.
The Palouse Democratic Socialists of America have issued a statement saying community members will be asking the Pullman City Council to add a resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza and an end to Israeli occupation at the Tuesday, June 11th meeting tonight. Those wishing to show solidarity are encouraged to attend wearing a keffiyeh or Palestinian flag and speak in favor of a ceasefire or call for the council to debate the resolution. The meeting will be held Tuesday, June 11th at 7 p.m. in the City Council chambers at 190 Southeast Crestview Street. People can reach out to the Democratic Socialists of America at contact@palousedsa.org. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area, it's calling for mostly clear skies tonight, low 52, breezy, west winds 15 to 20, decreasing to 5 to 10 after midnight, gusts up to 35 miles per hour. Sunny, high 69 tomorrow, and clear skies continue until Friday. High 78 Thursday and 70 on Friday, lows 43 Wednesday night and 51 Thursday night. Currently 75 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35. A year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho 83843. I'm Lee Robardis. Brenda Cox assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman. Coming up next, we have Flashpoint 6:30 to 7:30, and then Rude Awakenings on the air 7:30 to 9:30.